Good evening. I'd like to call the Tuesday, January 14th, 2020 regular school board meeting to order. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Abram?
Present.
Mr. Barga?
Present.
Mrs. Questenberry is absent. Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here. Before we do the Pledge of Allegiance, in remembrance of two young men, Dylan Treadway, a Reynoldsburg student, and Savon Pulley, a Reynoldsburg graduate, I would like to ask for a moment of silence as we remember and pay our respects to these two young men who recently lost their lives. Thank you. I'd like to call down two representatives from Wagner Road Junior High, Shandana Adakari and Susmita Adakari. Come on down and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And whenever you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to change glasses. Moving on to item 2.01, approval of the December 9th, 2019 special board meeting minutes. Along with 2.02, approval of the December 11th special board meeting minutes, and 2.03, approval of the December 17th, 2019 regular board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Neil Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Angela Abram. Is there any discussion?
I do, as it relates to 2.01 and 2.02. If we could, in both of those minutes, amend, or I move in both of those minutes to amend the use of acting president to the term just president. Pursuant to policy 0152, upon the vacancy of the office, the vice president assumes the office of president automatically. You were not acting. You had the full title, mm-hmm. and it should be reflected as such.
Absolutely. We actually had that discussion, so... would anybody like to second Mr. Barga's motion?
Second.
Seconded by Neil Whitman. So, Tammy, we will vote on the motion first, the amendment.
Vote on the amendment, mm-hmm. and then vote on the motion, and then I will update the minutes and send them out.
Okay. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll on the amendment?
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mrs. Abram. Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye. All right. Motion is passed. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll on the approval of the minutes?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion has passed. Item 3.01, approval of the January 14th, 2020 Board of Education meeting agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second by Ms. Abram. Do we have any changes or any additions to the agenda for tonight?
We do, actually. We have a resolution on Public Education Week, a resolution on Ed Choice Scholarships, an item under communications that was added, some personnel items, revised 2020-21 school calendar, and a removal of an executive session. Executive session.
All right. Any other questions or discussions on that? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Item 4.01, School Board Appreciation Month Proclamation. And I will hand that over to Superintendent Brown.
As hopefully everyone knows, January has been designated as School Board Appreciation Month. I think that the work that our folks do and board members all across the nation, the work they do is underestimated and unknown in many respects. They work really hard advocating for kids and representing school districts, and this is the month we could take an opportunity to recognize exactly that. We're very honored to have on the Honorable Joe Begany, our mayor, to deliver a proclamation on behalf of our board.
Good evening, Madam President Dunlap, board members. I know exactly what you're going through, and this is just the least that we can do to recognize your achievements and your contributions to education. So I will read this. Whereas the mission of Reynoldsburg City Schools is to meet the diverse educational needs of all children and to empower them to become competent, productive contributors to a democratic society and an ever-changing world, and whereas Reynoldsburg City School Board members are committed to children and believe that all children can be successful learners and that the best education is tailored to the individual needs of the child, and whereas school board members work closely with parents, educational professionals, and other community members to create the educational vision we want for our students, and whereas school board members are responsible for ensuring the structure that provides a solid foundation for our school system, and whereas school board members are strong advocates for public education and are responsible for communicating the needs of the school district to the public and the public's expectations to the district, now, therefore, I, Mayor Joe Begany, do hereby declare my appreciation to the members of the Reynoldsburg City School Board of Education and proclaim the month of January 2020 as School Board Recognition Month in Reynoldsburg. I urge all citizens to join me in recognizing the dedication and hard work of the local school board members and in working with them to mold an education system that meets both the needs of today's and tomorrow's children. In official recognition whereof, I hereby affix my signature on this 14th day of January 2020. Thank you again for all that you do, and no, I'm probably never going away.
I also want to take an opportunity to thank you personally, the team that we work with and the work we do. And I greatly appreciate all that you guys do in terms of supporting not only the work we're trying to get done, but the efforts of our kids and our community. None of this work could be done without you. Every day I'm extremely appreciative of what you bring to the table and what we are working to build going forward. Thank you.
Well, I have to share, thank you very much, Mayor Begany, for coming out. I thought you were just coming to check on us, but actually you came with another little secret mission. Thank you very much. And I was kind of trying to follow my duties, and I hadn't seen something on our a board agenda when we had agenda review, but of course Superintendent Brown was keeping everything under wraps. So as to surprise us, and we really appreciate the accolades. I think I speak for all of us when I do say that. Thank you very much. All right, moving on to item 5.01. Board members may speak on different topics at this time. I think I will start to my left with Mr. Barca.
Thank you, Madam President. Ms. Quesenberry is not here, but this meeting starts our third year of official meetings, regular meetings, on the board, and it marks a time we get to welcome a new person for her first regular meeting on the board, which is exciting. Other than that, there's not a whole lot to update on Reynoldsburg over the last week since our last meeting, but we do have some notes from Eastland Fairfield, which had a tax, organizational, and regular meeting all last Wednesday evening. I want to start with the fact that you were absolutely spot on about the food. I had cheesecake, and it was absolutely amazing. I'm going to enjoy that quite a bit. Beyond that, one of the things that happened was we did take a tax concern discussion, as well as a vote on the issue. I know that you've been paying attention to that over the historic time. I did abstain from that action simply because I do not know the historic realities with it as well. Other than that, the tax meeting went exactly as expected. Organizational, we had a repeat of our president and our vice president reelected. We elected me as our representative to the OSBA student achievement. So now the board, again, has multiple representatives in the OSBA, which I think is an advantage to our district and our partnerships. Other than that, we continue to look into dividends. I know that the Eastland Fairfield has worked hard to ensure that we have a full teaching staff with their partnership in the 9X, and we've talked about that a little bit, and we're pretty excited that they've been working hard to continue that. And everything else was authorized as normal, just like we do. And, yeah, that's it for today.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barga. Ms. Abram?
Thank you. I'd just like to...
I think your mic's not on.
Thank you. I'd like to present myself to you and let you know that I'm filling the seat that was vacated by our new mayor, the Honorable Joe Begany. I'd like to thank the board for their unanimous vote of confidence for me for this seat. I'm honored to have a seat at this table where we make decisions that impact the everyday and long-term education of the children and students of this community. To my esteemed colleagues and my board fellow board members, I'd like to thank you for entrusting me with this responsibility to this community. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I welcome your communications and concerns that you may want to share with me. I've met individually with some board members and will meet with the remainder in the coming days. I will be attending a board member boot camp to increase my knowledge and performance required to complete this position in a knowledgeable manner. I will be visiting and touring schools over the next several weeks. Finally, I'd like to extend the heartfelt condolences to the families that recently lost children in our district. And God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Board Member Whitman.
Hi, everyone. So, I'm happy to be starting my fifth year and second term here in a new role as the vice president. While our new board member Abram is going to be getting some boardmanship or board membership development, Madam President and I are going to continue ours on my birthday. We're going to go do an OSBA Leadership Institute right in town here. So as I said,
and I said maybe I'll bring cake.
That won't be necessary, but thank you. Also, before our next meeting, I've learned from Principal Johnson at Taylor Road that February 5th is World Read Aloud Day. She invited me to come read some stories to some third graders. So I don't know exactly what I'll be reading yet, but I like reading aloud, and I don't know if any of the other elementary schools are doing anything about this, but any of you out there who like reading, I encourage you to reach out to some of the principals. They'd probably be happy to put you to work one way or another with on that day or other days to help kids learn to love reading. Mr. Superintendent mentioned one of our resolutions tonight on Ed Choice, so I think I'll reserve comment about that until that item is on the is up for discussion. So I believe that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Thank you to Superintendent Brown for the accolades and the thanks. Thank you to Mayor Begany, I love saying that, for coming back out and for the proclamation. That means quite a bit to all of us. Being a board member is a lot tougher than you than one anticipates, and I've told this story, I've probably told it too many times here, but, as a reporter for This Week in S&P in both Whitehall and in Bexley, and I did that for 15 years, and I thought there was everything to know there was about sitting on this side of the table until you sit on this side of the table and you realize that there is so much more that goes into being a board member, more than I ever realized. And so I don't want to say it's a thankless job because Dr. Shelton, that's why I'm over at Rose Hill every Friday, because those kids just give me lots and lots of thanks. It's a very thankful job. I'm going to say thanks for the invites in January. I do know what I'm reading. I'm highly anticipating what I'm reading over at Taylor Road. It's one of my favorite books. And my kids are older, but I keep all my picture books at my house. So I jump at the chance to be able to share them with some friends.
Well, you can't just leave us in suspense this way. What is it?
Oh no, I'm not revealing. So, and I realize I think I'm reading to about three different groups. I have to come up with a couple others. So, Epas Amandus is my. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little updated version. I love something that my mom used to tell me. Thank you for the invites again for January, but keep them coming. We love to get into the schools. It's great to, again, be at my at Rosa with my Rosehill friends again. I haven't decided which team I'm going to join for the Race to 100, but I will definitely be joining a team and helping to cheer those kids on this year. The Reynoldsburg Education Foundation is off to a great start this year. We were able to give away $500 in December. Kind of our first, I guess you'd say, grant, $250 to Summit Road Elementary School, and another to a very lucky individual who was all happy about that because Christmas shopping was right around the corner. We also received two donations in the month of December, so we really are off and running. I just wanted to make a couple of comments about some changes this week that have caused some heartache for a number of people and students at the 9X. I've read comments from many frustrated parents on Facebook, and I've received some comments myself and some telephone calls. My daughter is also a student at the 9X. And so I am living it. And I understand the frustration that some people are feeling and some students are feeling also. The Freshman Academy is still a program that I strongly support. And I have since its inception. If you remember, there was a video that I just jumped at the chance to be able to put my weight behind because I just feel that this is such a great idea. And that's after having two children who already graduated from Reynoldsburg City Schools. The program has experienced some bumps in the road, some we did not anticipate, some maybe we should have. And I think we own that as a district. I know I do as a board member. Every time that I have brought concerns to Superintendent Brown, these concerns are addressed or are already being addressed by Superintendent Brown and the administration before I even anticipate them. This most recent move to a block schedule was explained to me in a parent communication. We did receive that, and I support the move. The last 2 days were anything but smooth, though, unfortunately, because of a computer problem that was not anticipated. And we are working to correct that. I understand that has mostly been ironed out. Our move to this idea of a freshman academy was huge. It was a very big undertaking that we planned considerably for. And even with all these challenges or problems or hurdles or whatever somebody else wants to call them, I still support this program 100%. And again, with a daughter in 9X and a volunteer at the school, I see the positive outcomes and experiences our kids are making, and I feel they far outweigh these bumps in the road. I will continue to listen to parents, students, and others, and communicate with Superintendent Brown as we work to polish this academy. Again, the academy's strengths far outweigh any of its challenges, and I ask you and this community for the support and continued support in this academy and this endeavor. And that concludes
my... I had a question, Madam President.
Yes.
You were mentioning the move to a block schedule, and I'm trying to recall last year when Dr. Cosgrave was presenting the revised high school schedules, and I thought it was some sort of like a combined hybrid sort of block other schedule. Is there a more recent change that has happened? Or
yes, there is. And I could tell you from my perspective, but I might want to pass that over to Superintendent Brown to give you a little bit more of a comprehensive idea on what that change looked like,
okay,
which began this week.
Mr. Whitman, you were referring to beginning of the year, we changed the high school schedule in general to an AB block across the high school that excluded 9X, which was still on a traditional schedule. They shifted to follow that same model as of this week. And I'll have some other comments in my comments to kind of address some of the bumps in the road and some of the glitches that have taken place.
Okay. All right. I'll look forward to hearing that. And I'll say that as a former member of the Outcomes Committee, I and Board Member Quesenberry were the ones who got to hear about most of this first in the in those committee meetings and kind of see it from its inception. Board Member Quesenberry is still on the Outcomes Committee, and Board Member Abram is a new member on there. So probably this is already in the works, but I'm hoping that, you know, it's kind of near the end of the school year, one of the items that will be covered in one of these committee meetings is just sort of a year-end review of 9X and kind of summarizing what, you know, what went well, what lessons we have to learn, and things like that. So, all right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, item 5.02, Public Education Week. This is up for action. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barca. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Abram. I am going to bring this resolution. This was actually a resolution that Board Member Quesenberry wanted to bring to the meeting tonight. And for medical reasons, she could not be here tonight and asked that I present this resolution. And I thought this was, I mean, it's always very, very timely, but it was very interesting hearing the proclamation by Mayor Begney talking about our strong advocacy for public education as board members. And I think this goes right along with that. So I will read this. Whereas traditional public school districts in Ohio serve more than 1.8 million students and employ more than 245,000 Ohioans. And whereas all children in Ohio should have access to high-quality education, the highest quality education possible. And whereas Ohio citizens recognize the important role that an effective education plays in preparing all students to be successful adults. And whereas quality education is critically important to the economic vitality in Ohio. And whereas public education not only helps to diversify our economy, but also enhances the vibrancy of our community. And whereas Ohio has many high-quality school administrators, teaching professionals, and support staff who are committed to educating our children. And whereas public education is celebrated across the country by millions of students, parents, educators, schools, and organizations to raise awareness of the need for effective public schools. Therefore, we, the Reynoldsburg City Schools Board of Education, do hereby recognize January 26th through February 1st, 2020, as Public Education Week and call this observance to the attention of all Ohioans. Is there any discussion?
So this is similar to such resolutions we've done in previous years, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
I see no reason not to vote in favor of this, but unlike some resolutions, it's not, you know, calling on any particular kind of action. So I was wondering if, you know, you have some thoughts to offer on, you know, what the value of such resolutions.
Well, I think it's kind of addressed in the very last line of this resolution. It calls this observance, we're calling this observance to the attention of all Ohioans and community members. And in calling attention to resolutions like this, we reiterate our obligation and our support of strong public schools as board members in Reynoldsburg and in Ohio.
Okay. Mr. Whitman, if I may add, on certain items when they are starting to become more nationally or statewide known, certain events, certain celebrations, certain ceremonial things, you end up with a series of smaller entities that slowly approve them and they roll on and they become bigger and bigger. And you saw that recently with some of the discussions in our city side when it comes to non-discrimination ordinance and similar concepts. You know, you start the ball rolling at a small level and the idea is it builds up. So that would be one sort of reason to
acknowledge or move for such a resolution like this.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there's no further discussion, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion is passed. Moving on to item 5.03, Ohio EdChoice Scholarship Program. Another resolution. May I have a motion on this resolution?
So moved.
Moved by Board Member Whitman. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Second by Ms. Abram. I am going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Whitman as this was his brainchild.
Okay. Well, this was actually brought to my attention and the board's by Mr. Superintendent, who, with his meetings of other superintendents, you know, talked about these issues here. So you may need to correct me. I'll try to summarize, or if you feel inspired, I will yield my time to you. Otherwise, I'll just try to summarize your points and then read them in the resolution here. So shall I take it away? All right. Okay, so the EdChoice scholarship or voucher program, it has existed for a while, the idea being that students in distressed or you know, so-called failing districts can get some state money and take it to a private school or a charter school. And it's been in place for a while, and some of the problems with it we've already talked about in previous meetings, namely that the money that follows the child to that school, well, it comes not out of the state budget but right out of ours when, being on the cap system, we don't get that full amount for the student ourselves, so it's a net loss. That's always been the case. But in the fall, a couple of amendments were kind of appeared out of nowhere from what I can gather, but then passed, and so it's expanded the EdChoice a lot. So first of all, there were about 5% of Ohio districts where students in them were eligible for these vouchers a couple of years ago. Now, because of the different definitions and different standards on report cards, that's ballooned to 70%. Now, students need not have ever attended a school in order to get the voucher. So parents who never had any intention of sending their kid to public school at all, they can be eligible for the voucher. Instead of being from grades 9 through 12, which is what it has been, now it's K through 12. Is that correct, Mr. Superintendent?
That's correct.
Yeah. And whereas even the 9 through 12 grades, that was sort of phased in over a course of 4 years, this is all at once. Second, if let's say a student gets this voucher in kindergarten, then perhaps, you know, 4 years later, even if the district has made a lot of changes and has become an exemplary, stellar district, that doesn't matter. That kid can still get their scholarship money from, you know, from K through 12. And there may be a couple of other kinds of expansions that can just really balloon the amount of money this can divert from public education. I probably forgot a few, but there's a lot of whereases in here. So the ones that are forgotten, they'll appear in there. So unless someone has something to add or correct, I'll read the resolution.
Oh. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and read it?
All right. So, whereas the Ohio legislature has recently made amendments which have increased the number of districts subject to the EdChoice program, which provides vouchers for students to attend private or parochial schools at public tax expense, from 5% at the end of the 2017-2018 school year to 18 months ago to more than 70% now. Sorry, there's an extra 2 in there that needs to be struck. Whereas these amendments have also expanded the EdChoice program from grades 9 to 12 to include all grades, and not in a phased-in manner, but all at once. And whereas these amendments allow even students residing outside an EdChoice-designated district to still be eligible for the vouchers if they have a family income less than 200% of the poverty level. And whereas such vouchers will be available to numerous families and students who have never attended Reynoldsburg or any other public schools, and for whom state funding has never been provided to Reynoldsburg or any other public schools. And whereas once a student receives such a voucher, they are entitled to receive it for the rest of their academic career, despite any success or improvement that their home district might make in years to come. And whereas private and parochial institutions are already using this legislation as a tool to conduct recruitment. And whereas private and parochial schools accepting students with public tax vouchers are not required to accept all students, but are permitted to retain their selective admission policies without enforcement of other laws applicable to public schools. And whereas this board believes that the EdChoice voucher program as it currently exists presents serious constitutional issues regarding the separation of church and state and the funding of religious institutions with public tax dollars. And whereas the funding for these students is deducted from a district's funds rather than coming directly from the state, resulting in a net loss for our school district under the cap and state funding that we are currently subject to. And whereas when our communities go to the polls to support ballot initiatives, they do so on behalf of the individual public school districts run by elected boards, not private and parochial institutions without such accountability. And whereas the state of Ohio has the constitutional responsibility to secure a thorough and efficient system of common schools, and whereas the EdChoice voucher program will have exactly the opposite effect by providing funding to private or parochial schools at the expense and to the detriment of public schools and their students, and whereas the Reynoldsburg City Schools Board of Education is committed to free, accessible public schools which are adequately and equitably funded to guarantee a comparable education for all children. Therefore, be it resolved that the Reynoldsburg City Schools Board of Education opposes and respectfully requests the repeal of the ill-conceived EdChoice voucher program of the state of Ohio. Be it further resolved that this board opposes any funding programs, vouchers, or otherwise that have the effect of diverting public tax dollars from public schools to private or parochial schools. And be it further resolved that the treasurer is hereby authorized and directed to forward copies of this resolution to all Ohio state legislators, the superintendent of public instruction, and the governor of the state of Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Thank you, Mr. Whitman. All right, any comments or discussion?
I will emphasize that since this is for discussion only tonight, because we could only approve it at the following meeting, that discussion is all there will be.
Okay, because it's up for action.
I thought.
I mean, you have the option of taking action on it anytime you'd wish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps I'm misremembering the bylaws. I thought something had to be introduced at one meeting and then at the next.
The board has taken a practice of if something comes forward, you can take action on it if you wish to do so.
Okay, well then, I move that this resolution be adopted.
We have a motion out there, so any further, any discussion, comments?
I want to start actually with the constitutionality prong of this, and then I want to discuss the rest of it after that. If Mr. Whitman, if you'd be so kind, can you please illuminate what constitutional concern you believe is raised specifically from this in light of different precedent, specifically Zelman?
I don't know. I don't recognize the legal reference to Zelman. If you're talking about the constitutional issues about separation of church and state, I put that in there because it just seemed to me that funding going to school, religiously affiliated schools, has presented the same kind of problems it has for quite a while. I know it's been in various courts for various times, and I figured that if there were questions about how accurate this is or how appropriate, then we could certainly amend to strike that one, whereas we have plenty more left.
Well, it's up to the body, of course, if they want to strike it. The concerns that I would have are essentially three specific cases that I think actually take it from a possible argument that there is a concern there to really an argument that there can't be a concern there, or more that we could position that there is a concern there, but it would require us to be arguing that the Supreme Court is going to overturn, I believe, Justice Rehnquist, which is unlikely with the current makeup. The first is Everson, which is a classic case that most people use to argue that any funds going to religious organization is a unconstitutional violation. That is also the test where we get the establishment of the wall between the two actually entering the jurisprudence as opposed to just the lexicon from the letter to the Baptists. But the general concept of Everson is that you cannot use a direct fund from the state to the religious institution. That's why most people look at it. What most people don't remember is Everson actually, the funds were allowed under the case because they went through the parents. And they were a general transportation fund that was available to any of the people in New Jersey. The next case that most people look at is going to be the Lemon test, Lemon versus Gerdsman. And that is slightly modified as it relates to prayer in front of city councils recently from New York. But beyond that, the main concept of the Lemon test is going to be a three-prong test that essentially is, and you have to pass every single one of the prongs. A singular violation of the prong is a violation of the Constitution. So you have a excessive entanglement prong. You have the primary advance prong, which is either it advances a religion or it inhibits a religion. And then you have the secular purpose prong, which is, does the law itself have a valid secular purpose? This is a, I consider it an old case, but it's the standard still for most situations. And I actually used it for the first time when I was in high school to argue a Christmas tree was not a Christmas tree. However, when it relates to specifically schools' interaction with that funding through a parent, through the purpose of a scholarship, tuition voucher, or similar, that's going to be governed by Zelman, which specifically is about Ohio vouchers and the program that evolved into EdChoice. That went up to the Supreme Court, and they created what is called the Modified Use Test for Choice. And that is essentially if you're giving a public concept, I don't want to say capitalistic competition, but some level of competition to it, allowing a choice by the individuals, what is the test going to be? And in that case, what the court came up with is a five-prong test that is the valid secular purpose from Lemon gets absorbed. The aid must go directly to the parent and not the schools. That's absorbed from our previous test. The broad class of beneficiaries must be covered. That is a brand new rule. The program must be neutral with respect to religion. We're not really clear yet how that relates to advancing and inhibiting, if that overturns it or if it is some modification of it. And then there must be an adequate non-religious option. Now, what the court then did with Ohio is they broke it down. Obviously, this is a few years old and not directly to the current modification of EdChoice, but it is to the original progeny. And the concept that the court found was that there is a secular, valid secular reasoning in that providing the educational assistance to poor children in a demonstrably failing public school system. The vouchers were given to the parents, not the schools, so there was no concern there. The broad class was all students. Now, I'm not sure I would agree that all students enrolled in a currently failing program is broad enough. The court did. But as you pointed out, that has been greatly expanded. So even if that was not broad enough then, it is definitely going to be broad enough now because that's, in fact, one of the issues we're bringing up on this. And the final thing is that because of the specific area it was brought from, the Cleveland area, there were public schools in adjoining districts as well as non-religious schools that accepted the vouchers. I'm somewhat curious how a public school could accept a voucher. I would love to be able to do that for financial reasons, but for some reason I don't think we still can except for open enrollment. That's the constitutional issue. So before I move on from there, I would suggest that we remove that prong or at least lessen it simply because there is no current argument in the jurisprudence that would allow that sort of argument to continue.
Okay. Are you moving to do so? Or
I'll move to amend to remove that singular whereas section.
All right. I will second that.
Okay. Can you, where, which, where,
so
how many down?
Board Member Braga proposes to strike the whereas clause that says the board believes that the Ed Choice voucher program as it currently exists presents serious
it's
constitutional
almost perfectly
issues.
Halfway.
Yeah. So so we have a motion and a second, so I will comment if I may. I didn't follow everything you said there, but those who have the expertise to follow it can listen to the podcast. I will just simply say though that you have convinced me that there is sufficient doubt about this, that it doesn't belong in a document that we would presume, you know, that we would as a board approve. So that's why I'm willing to strike that whereas.
Might I add, there are districts all across the state that are doing this exact one without the striking, and I would argue that although those arguments may be valid, I think arguments on the other side to contest that would also be valid, which is the reason for the resolution in the first place.
So we have a motion on the floor to amend this resolution, striking whereas this board believes that the Ed Choice voucher program, as it currently exists, presents serious constitutional issues regarding the separation of church and state and the funding of the religious institutions with public tax dollars. So the issue or the amendment on the floor is to strike that. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Braga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Nay.
Mrs. Abram?
Nay.
Mrs. Dunlap?
No. Oops, sorry, I'm still in Eastland Fairfield.
I'm pretty sure I took I from somewhere else. I don't know if that's right. Then, reverting back to the floor for the other issues, I'm going to have to suggest that we as a body do not adopt this, and I would like to start by asking Mr. Whitman if he can pull up his notes from the discussion in December of 17th, 2017, regarding the 529 plans, if you have any of those with you.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant December from just this past year. I didn't notice it was 2017.
My apologies. In that case, I actually have the podcast. The reason I want to bring this up, and I can play it if we want, is there were a series of questions that you asked in a discussion between you and Mr. Truex. And the series of questions were essentially when it related to the tax plan, where is this option for the less fortunate? You discussed that those in abject poverty probably did not have anything to contribute to it. So there was no net benefit. Mr. Truex did counter that by discussing we should reward any parent who can essentially save any amount, and he used the example of $50 for it. At the same point, you then talked about upper lower, and you pointed out that while there could be uses, it was unlikely that that was going to be in the same use because the withdrawal at that age would mean it's unlikely that they would then have the money needed for college, which is the original purpose of the plans. That didn't really have a counter from Mr. Truex. It then went on to middle class, where the discussion was kind of muddled, but essentially your position seemed to be it wasn't necessarily going to be a net advantage, but not necessarily a net disadvantage in that position. And then you finished it off by talking about the high wealthy being the only people who would benefit, but that because of their wealth already existent, they wouldn't. At that point, Mr. Truex discussed the distinction between rich and wealthy, and I'm not really sure where that went from, but the idea with that is you were asking what options did the less fortunate have to use the same source of funds, tax-free funds. And my position would be this is that option. This is exactly what this is. We have an opportunity as a state to take funds collectively of the state, yes, the individual districts, but they are still collective funds, at least under the proposed constitutional funding, if it ever gets to exist, where more than majority of funding should be coming from the state. In that scenario, these are the same funds, and they would be equitably distributed based on the quality of the education that the child is getting, the individualized needs of that child, and what their parents consider the best option. In some situations, that is a religious institution. When it relates to that, there are rules for that. There are specific curricular requirements, whether they're accredited or not. There are specific checks on those as well.
Beyond that, you also have public schools. They are public that exist within this. They were mentioned in the previous case, and I'm still trying to figure out if they do fully exist and we can start one, but they're at least mentioned. You also have non-religious chartered schools. You have non-religious organizations that are part of larger bodies that are accredited. Various colleges in the state have part of their teaching program, have an accredited school within it that is usually used in conjunction to a nearby prison or something of that nature where it's part of a rehabilitation effort, but those can also qualify. When you look at these options, really what we're doing is we're saying we don't like this because this can be used against us. And we do this with open enrollment. We take other schools' money, other districts' money for their student. And it's the exact same concept. We might not like it because it means that for some reason we're not serving that individual student adequately to whatever needs they may have. But that might not be a reflection of us. And I don't think that we should stop parents from being able to get there. So then we get into which parents do we care about. As you pointed out before, the wealthy parents are able to do this already. We don't have an overt issue with rich, privileged white kids getting into the private school that they wish to. We do have an issue with farming white kids. We do have an issue with urban communities. We do have an issue with the overall concern of can you move around outside of your geographic and economic limitation? And the answer is no for a lot of cases. I have cases that I do in divorce where we have a situation where the only reason a kid can be in a good school system, some of the worst systems in the entire state I deal with, the only reason a kid can be in a good system is they have these vouchers. And as soon as I get that case, I advise the parent how to get that voucher, and I always will, because that gets their kid into a chance outside of their district. I think it's fundamentally wrong for us to take our privileged positions and say we can move stuff around, and that's exactly what we discussed in the 529 plan. And I will point out that that vote was a 2-2 vote, though there was an attempt to make it a 2-3 vote, though the tiebreaker didn't count. And the two votes against it were Mr. Truex and Mr. Begany. Both you and Ms. Dunlap continued with the proposal then. I think that we need to continue that concept. I think that as a whole, it is our duty to be concerned about all of the kids. And sometimes that means we have to allow other districts and other schools to do what we do with open enrollment and take from us.
All right. So you're not proposing changes, just proposing to argue against. Mr. Whitman, are you going to leave this as it stands?
Well, first off, we
have a first instance.
Thank you, Board Member Barga, for your points. They are well taken and worth considering. Actually, I agree with your point about open enrollment. The same argument we make about how we get less than some full amount per student, and then it's a net loss when that student goes to some other district. Well, it works in our favor in terms of open enrollment. And so if it ever gets fixed up that, open enrollment gets funded directly from the state too, well, we'll have to deal with it then. We won't necessarily like it, but I would agree that, it would not be unfair. And I agree in concept with the idea of providing poor people, options and choices and things. And I have heard cases here and there where it actually has worked very well for individual students. But I think the big expansion that we're talking about here could be very truly damaging to a public school district. And as a board member trying to fund our own district, for that reason, I still intend to support such a resolution. My impression is that you disagree with the resolution, or just the resolution not to oppose these, not any further whereases, right?
So in other words, if we were to
eliminate one or the other, some other reasons, that would not change your fundamental disagreement with this resolution as a whole. Is that correct?
If you change the whereas the ed choice is an issue part to whereas the current formula for funding and the cap
is an issue, which I think all of these apply directly to that as well, I would be happy. But that's a repeat of the resolution that we did March of 2018.
Okay.
I suppose we could send it to our representatives. I'm not really sure much change is going to happen yet.
Okay, thank you. No, I have no further comments.
All right, so the motion still stands. Resolution, we were going to strike that repetitive two in the first whereas. I think that was just a typo that we didn't catch. But otherwise, it will stay as it stands. I think there is an incredible amount of support behind this. And again, in a month and a week when we are supporting public education, and I don't think taking money away from one district, any district, is the solution to transparency or to quality. I support this resolution, as do many others across the state. So without any other further discussion, Madam Treasurer?
I actually do have a little bit of further discussion in relation to that resolution you just referenced. Meet the diverse educational needs of all children, and the best education is tailored to the individual needs of the child. I think the best way to guarantee that is make sure that the money follows the child, and the child is always able to find the system that best meets their needs.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barga. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
No.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to item 6.01, Superintendent may speak on different topics at this time. Superintendent Brown, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I want to start by talking a little bit about the 9X changes that took place this week. And first of all, express my apologies and my frustrations to families and students who were impacted by those decisions and how they played themselves out. I was in favor of the decision to make the changes. However, we were under the impression that those changes were going to be done so in a very orderly fashion and done in the way we expect things to be done. So I take responsibility for that, and I apologize on behalf of the Academy to our students, parents, staff, and anybody else impacted by that. Those issues will be rectified immediately, and we will make sure we are able to provide our students with schedules that make sense so that we don't have this type of thing happening again. Secondly, I am very excited that last week we also got the opportunity to unveil our Center for Deeper Learning, which talks about the convergence of our technology initiatives, our instructional initiatives, and all the support pieces that go along with that. In many respects, we talked about technology happening here and instruction happening here. Those things are now working together, and we expect those things to be done in concert in classrooms and yielding results for kids. So I'm really excited about that unveiling and the development of that particular part of our offerings. Next, I'm also excited to announce a partnership that we're having with Franklin County Job and Family Services, in which we will have a site within our district where our families and community members can go to access community access programs, government programs, what have you. Instead of having to travel to Columbus, they will be able to come right here at home and not have to travel to Columbus to have those types of conversations, be it for public assistance, food stamps, whatever the case may be. We'll have people on board here within the district to be able to provide guidance for families seeking those opportunities. Lastly, it's been a tough week for many of us, dealing with the devastating losses of a current student and a former student. I send my heartfelt condolences and well wishes to those families impacted. It's never easy to navigate those types of situations as a school district, so we can't even imagine what it's like for those families. So it's been a very tough week, but I would implore all of us to take care of each other. Let's get in a place where we can actually support and provide each other with assistance instead of creating environments in which we have to be against each other. It's pretty obvious to me as you look at discourse throughout our nation right now, we have a very divided group of folks. We're not one. I hope that we as a district can buck that trend and become one to support each other in these venues and to make sure that all of us have the type of support necessary to be successful. We can, as we've always talked about since I've been here, we can agree to disagree, and we can disagree without being disagreeable. I've since amended that a bit to say we don't necessarily have to disagree less. We have to disagree better. That means we have to have productive conversations that allow us to disagree where we don't have to disagree in a way that we don't like each other or we hate each other. It's not a fun place to be, and I think a lot of us are being impacted in negative ways because of that. So I just want to implore us to continue to support each other in the way that's appropriate and needed, because we all need that. We all have days in which we don't want to face some of the obstacles that are in front of us, and we need people around us to make sure we're able to do so successfully. And on those days when someone needs a pick-me-up, you need to go find them, because there's going to be a day in which you might need one, and you'll need someone to pick you up as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Superintendent, I had one further question. So so moving 9X to a block schedule, so to recap, we had block schedule, or sort of the hybrid block schedule for grades 10, 11, and 12 that we approved last year, but the 9X is on a different schedule, and then in between the semesters, we moved to this sort of a new block schedule. Can you Tell a little bit more about that?
Honestly, Mr. Whitman, I couldn't give you specifics tonight, but I will make sure I get all that information to you by Friday so you know exactly what it is we're referring to.
Okay, thank you. And if, it, sure. And if it's been in one of the board packets, then I just...
Yeah, no, you haven't missed that. I'll make sure I share that Friday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, moving on to item 7.01, visitors that requested to address the board. May do so at this time. Do we have any speaker slips?
No, we do not.
Thank you. All right, moving on then to item 8.01, 02, 03, and 04. They're all up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. On tonight for approval are the December financial reports. We also have some appropriation modifications. We received a SWACO grant, a school equipment grant, and we have a couple of new funds, the High Fab Lab Fund, a new opportunity at HS Squared, similar to the Fab Labs we have in the other buildings in the district. Baldwin Road is increasing their budget for additional fundraisers, and we also got a grant from the Columbus Foundation. Also on tonight are some transfers and advances. One's a correction of a transfer from last month where 002 was inadvertently put on the agenda rather than fund 003, so we're correcting that. And then making a couple of temporary advances from the general fund to some federal grants, which will be paid back as the federal grant funding becomes available. We had a number of donations. I won't take the time to read them all. They're in your board packet. But we had First Robotics Competition, had the L Brands gave one of their annual donations, along with several others throughout the district. Also, that isn't technically finances, I just wanted to give the board a quick update on the new public records rating system. I sent this. It's going to be in your Friday packet, so I'll just briefly touch on it. But the Auditor of State has come out with a new rating system. He's very passionate about public records. And so in addition to the Sunshine Law, he's established 7 best practices. And districts will receive stars based on, first of all, they get a star if we follow the law. And then you will get stars if you implement several of the best practices. In reviewing that, we're in pretty good shape in the district. We've already have done a number of the things that are in the best practices. We do need to beef up a few things. One of the things that we don't have is a poster in all of our buildings describing our public record policy. We do need to officially designate records officers in each of our buildings. So we have some little things like that we need to do. As part of meeting the best practices, we've added more information to our website. So if you go out under the board and under public records, we now have our policy out there, our records retention schedule. My information is now prominently displayed, and we even put out there a standard form that people can use but don't have to use to request public records. So overall, we should be in good shape, and in the Friday packet, you'll get the details of all the best practices, and there's check marks as to where I think we are in meeting those. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think I asked before, but this might have been an agenda review, who is going to do the rating, and how often? Is this an annual audit?
They haven't specifically said, but because it's from the Auditor State's office, my guess is they'll do it as part of the annual audit. So when they come in to do the audit for 1920, they'll look at our processes and procedures and probably pull some records requests to make sure that we're meeting all those.
Okay, great. Any other questions on any of those items?
On the subject of public records, I will add that in addition to the auditors that you mentioned there, every year, the Columbus Dispatch, in advance of Sunshine Week, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but they send their folks out all over the place, just kind of asking for whatever records they can get, and seeing if people will give it to them. So, mm-hmm. And I don't think I've read about us in their Sunshine Week specials yet, but whatever we're doing, let's continue to follow those best practices. So, thank you for keeping
You're
us
welcome.
Up to date.
Well, thank you for your work in that area because you are our designee, and I appreciate all the work that you do. As
thank
we
you.
Said, those are some pretty complicated laws about around record retention and Sunshine, and I know that you put a lot of work into not only educating yourself about those laws and the retention, but a lot of work in itself. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. If there's no further discussion, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. All right, moving on to personnel. I'm going to take item 9.01, administrative staff, and 9.03 together first for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? I'm sorry. I'm not following my procedure. Superintendent Brown.
Let's give a quick highlight. I'm excited to bring on board. Well, I shouldn't say that. Not bring on board. To promote one of our, what I consider to be extremely loyal and dedicated employees to the role of coordinator for safety and security. Mr. Curtis Poole has assumed this role, and we look for big and wonderful things from him. He has already done phenomenal work for our district, and I'm excited to see the work he does in this particular role in leading that department. So, Mr. Poole, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I don't have any other highlights there.
Okay. Any other questions? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Item 9.02, certified staff. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second by Ms. Abram. Any highlights here?
I have no highlights.
Any discussion? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Ms. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Abstain.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to item 10.01 and 10.02, educational travel and Athletic High School Association membership. On both of those, up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second by Ms. Abram. Can I have, we're not going to do it. Superintendent Brown.
We had the presentation last month about the Ohio Model UN program for middle school. Excited for, I believe, students at Wagner Junior who will be participating in that. And 10.02 is for our annual membership to the Ohio High School Athletic Association.
Pretty standard for 10.02, and I know that we actually had someone come present to us last month and give us some information on 10.01. So any discussion? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. All right, the next two items, 10.03, educational travel to Egypt, which sounds so intriguing and exotic, and 10.04, educational travel, robotics team to Greater Pittsburgh, which is an incredible city, just doesn't sound as exotic. and 10.05, educational travel, the robotics team to Miami Valley for a competition there. All three of these are up for discussion. Do we have anyone here to address the educational travel to Egypt? This is in spring break 2021. No days will be missed. Anyone? Egypt? I sure want to go.
I'll just say I'm going to see what I can do about going.
Yeah, I was telling some. My husband's been there, but he slept in a tent when he's there, and I don't think that that is quite as fun as what this this trip. So it'll be up for action at the next meeting. Maybe in our board packet we can get a little bit of information to learn, because I am quite intrigued by this trip. This is something that is very different, I think, from anything that we have offered before. So I would love to hear more about it.
I read Ms. Ross's information in the agenda. She says it's sort of associated with her African literature class, and then also said in conjunction with certain educational standards. And so I'd just be interested in hearing a bit more about which standards she's referring to when we hear more about it.
We'll take care of that.
I would like a bit more information on our security that we will be providing during that time.
I would too, Mr. Barger.
Because we have a level 2 travel advisory in that area, specifically for Western education is listed on it. And one of the biggest concerns is we're buying insurance specifically for that reason. At least it's in the cost that's proposed. And so I really want to make sure if we're doing this, especially in terms of the highlighting and the escalation of tensions, albeit on the other side of the peninsula, recently, those can always escalate back to that side simply because who their neighbor is. So I have some significant concern that I'd like to address before we get this on action.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Varga. Good point. And I think the robotics team, these are both, they do these every year.
Yes.
The dates are out there. Correct me if I'm missing anything. The date of the competition, the first one is March 19th and the 21st. Students will miss 2 days of school. Great educational event and team building. Then the second date of the competition is February 27th to the 29th. The students are going to miss 2 days of school there. So attachments to each of those, but some additional requested information. Great. Thank you, Superintendent Brown. All right, moving on to item 11.01, Boundless, a.k.a. Step by Step Academy Incorporated, amended agreement. In my agenda, unless I'm missing something, it doesn't say action or it doesn't say the type. Am I missing it?
Yes, it says action.
Okay.
On mine anyway.
Reason mine, it's when I print it off, it's not there.
It doesn't, but I mean, it's written as a motion, so.
Yeah, so I was
it's
just
on the
looking
live at agenda. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the live agenda.
Okay, all right. Well, then somehow when I printed it off today, that was just missing. So, all right, so 11.01 is up for action. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Abram. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Second by Mr. Barga. Superintendent Brown, can you give us a little bit of a background on this?
This is for additional students that with special needs and making sure they have services that are necessary for them to be successful.
Okay. So this was formerly Step by Step?
Yes.
Okay. Any changes to that agreement?
No, no cost differences or anything of that nature.
Okay. So just a name change. All right. Any discussion? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. Moving on to item 12.01, school calendar update. Do I have a motion?
I moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second by Ms. Abram. Superintendent Brown, would you like to give us that update?
Sure. So we discovered after we looked at the calendar that we approved some months ago that we actually had May 24th of 2021 as Memorial Day, which should have been May 31st of 2021. So that rectifies that change. In addition, with the addition of May 24th as a regular school day now, that is one less day that we have to have on the calendar. So we were proposing to move the end of the school year as May 26th, with the teacher work day from May 27th.
So just moving it back one day.
Correct.
Then. Correct. Yes. All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Ms. Abram?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. All right. Moving on to items 1301, 1302, and 1303, all up for action. Do I have a motion?
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. All right. Mr. Reed, the floor is all yours.
Briefly, 13.01. This motion was presented to the board last year. Shortly before the 9X project broke ground. This is a pretty standard authorization that allows me to execute all contingent costs on any board-approved project up to 10% of the total amount of the project, which we did use in 9X. Not all 10%, but we did use the contingency. 13.02, removal of an item from the surplus list. This is a truck that was previously not being used, just sitting on the lot. When there's an accident with a bus, regardless of how minor or major, the mechanics have been using their personal truck to go to that location. They have fixed this truck very inexpensively with some help from some district interns, and they'll be using that truck for this. And lastly, 13.03, this is an old bus that to meet Ohio State Highway Patrol laws, we would have to spend a lot of money, a lot more than we want to spend on that. So it's effectively totaled.
Okay. Are there any questions? Discussion?
The district interns, I'm interested in hearing about that. Are they, what school are they from?
This is part of Mr. I was just calling Woody. Woody has the intern program out at part of Encore,
mm-hmm.
and we have, I believe, two students that are interning as mechanics, doing great work.
Cool.
So
nice. Well, way to go.
And I just call him Woody as well. Isn't that kind of funny? And he's in charge of sort of the Encore's fab lab,
correct,
if you will. Yes. All right. That's wonderful news. Neat. All right. Some ingenuity. If there are no further questions, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motions pass. Item 14.01, motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Meeting is adjourned.